Blog Talk Radio.
Fuck it. Welcome to the Passionpreneurs Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan C. Green. Welcome back to another episode of Passionpreneurs Podcast. This is Ryan C. Green, and I'm excited. This is the show where we help you turn your passions into profitable enterprises. And if you missed any of our last episodes, you can always catch up at www.thepassionpreneurs.com. So I want to thank you for tuning in again. If you want more information, you can go to the website as well. Join us every week right here at the passionpreneurs.com. Make sure you join the email list and follow us on social media. Then you can also go over to www.ryancgreen, that's green with an E.com, for more tools and resources, and follow us on Facebook at I Am Raji Page or on Twitter at I Am Raji. I'm excited about another episode of the Passionpreneurs Podcast. This is the show, again, where we teach you how to turn your passions into profitable enterprises. And we have some great guests tonight, tag team, a duo that's going to really help us go through some tips on how to really go in and pursue that passion. So tonight's discussion, tonight we're going to talk about redistributing your talents. We're going to talk about redistributing your talents and what I mean by that. And again, this is another chapter from the forthcoming book, Becoming a Passionpreneur, 31 Ways to Reignite Your Fire in your life. You know, how do you get those? How do you get that passion back? How do you pursue a life of passion that you're excited about? You know, when you hit a wall or a dry spell, sometimes you have to redistribute your talents. And what do I mean by that? I'm gonna give you six ways and six areas where you can redistribute your talent. What I mean by that is taking what you do, taking who you are, and what you're good at doing. And sometimes you have to take it somewhere else. Sometimes you have to start doing something different and getting yourself into different circles, getting yourself around different opportunities in order to rekindle that passion, to reignite that fire. So we're going to talk about six different things. In the first area, I'll talk about redistributing your talents is using your hands. Sometimes you have to redistribute where you put your hands. You put in work elsewhere. The hands are how we build, that's what we do, use to create. And maybe you've been in a situation, you've been doing something for so long, you've been creating and you've lost that fire, you've lost that juice. Sometimes, you know, you need to redistribute and take those hands and put them to work elsewhere. If you're a builder and maybe you're not, you know, you're building one kind of product and you want to go and find something else that you're more excited about and redistribute in that. If you're working computer all day and you're typing all day and you're doing you know, you're sitting at the cubicle nation, but you really want to be home knitting Afghans, you know, you want to take those hands and put them to work elsewhere, and that could help you. Second is your eyes. How can you redistribute your eyes? You know, take your vision. Eyes are used for vision. Some of us have vision that we're using or being misused at opportunity that isn't, you know, maximizing our potential, isn't maximizing our vision. So you might have to take your vision elsewhere. Maybe you have to move to a different organization because what you see and what you think is possible for that organization, those who are there don't necessarily see it or aren't appreciating that. So you have to take that vision with you and go somewhere else. And then there's ears. I'm going to talk about ears. You know, the ear, we let things in through our ear. So sometimes you have to, for this example, I'm going to use the ear as motivation. Who is inspiring you? Who is motivating you? What is getting into your spirit and your mind through your listening? So sometimes you have to get motivation from somewhere else. Those who are familiar with church, a lot of times people end up changing churches because the message just doesn't reach them anymore. Or maybe you're listening to too much of one kind of radio or music and the top 40 stations, and you want to change your ears and start listening to an NPR or a talk radio station, and that could reignite you because now you're listening to people who are thinking differently. You know, I listen to books on audio all the time because there's always something positive I can get from that. There's always some way I can grow through those books and through those lessons that are what I let in my ears. All right. So next, if you see a theme here, you know, I'm going through the senses. The next sense we're talking about is mouth. How can we redistribute our mouth? How can we use our voice elsewhere? Have you ever felt like you're just talking to a wall sometimes? If you're in a job where your voice isn't being heard, or if you're in a community and your voice isn't being heard, how can you shift to make that of your voice be heard? Where can you go? And maybe you have to go to a new organization or go to a different position or find a new group to really have people who want to listen and hear what you have to say and get your fire going again. You know, if you're sitting there constantly, if you're a teacher, I'll use that example. If you're a teacher and you're constantly teaching kids who maybe not want to listen or maybe aren't quite grasping what you're saying or you're not relating to them, perhaps it's time for you to go to a different grade. You know, maybe you need to teach a different subject or teach a different grade or a different kind of audience. So sometimes our mouth, we can reignite our passions and reignite our fire by simply shifting our audience whom we're speaking with. All right. And then smell. Now, this is going to be a little stretch, but I couldn't leave smell out. Sometimes you have to sniff opportunity elsewhere. You know, sometimes we get so stuck in a rut and so stuck in our mundane lives and the way things have always been that we're afraid to try anything different. So, you know, we may want to do something different, but we're afraid to go after it. We're afraid to really jump in. So sometimes if you want to reignite that fire, you can't be afraid to sniff that opportunity, sniff those new opportunities. I'm reminded of the movie Life, where Martin Lawrence's character was sniffing that cherry pie, and he could no longer take it. He had to run. He ran and tried to get that pie out that window, even if death was going to meet him there. But sometimes you have to just decide, you know what, I'm going to be excited. I'm going to run after that cherry pie and just do it. So far we have your hands, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your smell. And I'm going to add one more bonus is your mind. Sometimes you have to redistribute the talents of your mind and take your genius elsewhere. You know, if you're in an organization, if you're in a group, if you're in a job where you're not being appreciated, where you're constantly being overlooked for promotions, where you're constantly being stepped over and talked over during meetings, people just don't seem to get you, then sometimes you have to take that elsewhere. Take your genius elsewhere where someone will appreciate you, where you can grow, where you can flourish, where your ideas can come to fruition, and you can get excited about life. You can get excited about work, excited about living, and really going after what it is you are passionate about doing. So I like to start each show, give you a little bit of something, but I really want to jump in to our guests, because these guests today is a brother tandem who are professionals, 9-to-5 professionals, but they have redistributed their talents and they have delved into a new arena and are having some tremendous, tremendous success. So I want to welcome to the Passionpreneurs tag team of Brian and Paul Johnson. Welcome to the show, fellas.
Hey, Ryan, what's happening?
Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
All right, great, great, great. I'm just glad to have you both on here. Now, Brian, you know, this is different. For those who don't know, the Ryan and Brian show, for the last 3 years we did this show, Brian that you're listening to, Brian Johnson, was the co-host with me on that show, and now he's a guest. So, Ryan, this is a joy being able to interview you. And, Paul, I'm glad you're
appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely, no problem, no problem. And, Paul, I think Brian said that your probation officer said you're going to be on the phone for about 15 minutes.
Right.
I want to thank you for that as well.
Right. Absolutely. I can't be that close to Victoria's Secret as well, so I stay away from them all. But thank you for having me, man. I think that was a great introduction.
Wonderful, man. So, listen, let's talk about what you guys are doing, because you guys have taken the publishing industry by storm. I'm so excited about your project. You know, I've talked a lot with Brian along this process that you guys have gone through, and I'm excited about what you guys have done. Why don't you tell our listeners about your new project? Either one of you can jump in.
I guess I'll start. Yeah, so we've basically written a novel, which we call a IX novel or interactive experience novel, that is one part novel, one part soundtrack, one part movie. So we were able to bring all of these different kind of media together in a novel format, but it has these special features to it, and it combines a really compelling story with a lot of this multimedia. People have compared it to Empire, like the television show Empire, where they have, you know, the story, then they have the music. Our book is, has a story with music. I feel like our story is a bit more compelling, but as an Empire fan, I know that I can enjoy both. So that's really kind of the project at a high level.
Great. Now, you guys, Paul, why don't you give us a quick synopsis of what the plot is, what the story is, and then tell us about the music aspect to it as well.
The story is about a guy by the name of Sal Stein that is actually an up-and-coming rapper that starts to get courted by a record label. They take interest in what he's doing, and as he goes through being courted by them, he starts to see that some things aren't always what they seem. So he starts to get clues and such about kind of the record company and what's going on, and he starts to kind of delve into those things. He starts out a journey with him and his manager, and it evolves from there. How did I nail that? Was that all right?
You did a great job. Now,
I never want to give too much of the story away. There's a lot of twists and turns and things that go on, and I get so excited about the project that sometimes I got kind of give a little bit too much of the story away. So, I think that's a good introduction.
That was excellent. Now tell us about the music, because that was what I heard before I even started reading some of the book. The songs and the production, because it's about, you said, the music industry. But why was it so, like, you guys have put together this book? It has a soundtrack. It's interactive. I mean, as you're reading the book, you have links that you can sit there and listen to the songs and really jump in, put yourself into the story. So when you deal with the music and books, what was your background, both of you? I mean, did you have a music background? Have either of you written books before? How was it jumping into this arena?
We actually, as younger kids, we had a couple of rap groups that we were part of. And then I actually submitted a lot of music for the music industry. The rap group was, we started out as a group called 5A Square, which is a shout out to our hometown Ann Arbor. And then later on became Lake Water, which was a nod to our neighborhood, Pine Lake, which is in Ann Arbor. By the way, Brian played the cello. I don't know if that contributed to the whole hip hop thing. He was the first hip hop cellist, if you will. Look, no, but we've always been.
Brian played the cello and the string bass for most of the time. Now
we've always been fans of hip hop. As a matter of fact, I started writing music because Brian would listen to Boogie Down Productions and write down all of the lyrics to KRS-One. And correct me if I'm saying this wrong, Brian. And then he started to then write his own lyrics, and then I got kind of into music because I pretty much did what my older brother did, and that's what got us into music. We wanted to add, originally the book was not going to be a book. We wanted to actually do a movie, but once we figured out that we didn't know how to do a screenplay, we decided to write the book. And then to have this convergence of media, the music with the actual literature was a great way to kind of expand the reading experience and give you another dimension to these characters without being an audiobook. So that's kind of the idea behind adding the music, and we needed that extra something to make it a little bit more interesting. Plus, I always wanted to be a rapper, so I was like, hey, man, this is my chance to do it. No, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great song as well. Now, Brian, take us to, you know, your side of this. You're sitting at work one day. When do you guys decide we're going to write a book?
Actually, like Paul said, we didn't initially want to write a book. I mean, the first thing that happened, it just started as an idea. So you know, Ryan, you're humble, so I'm sure you don't say this much, but you definitely have are mentioning the acknowledgments of the book. It started with an email from you where you said to me, Brian, you know, have you heard about this Illuminati and hip hop thing? And I'd heard a little bit about it, but not a whole lot, and I thought it was dumb. Initially, I'm like, man, whatever. You know, I can't even see Jay-Z and Rihanna and these people being involved in some secret society. And, you know, Paul didn't really talk about it, but a lot of the book examines that. So initially, I'm like, nah, I'm not really, I don't think it's there's anything to it. But you said, you know what, I know you, you'll think something of it. Or you'll look at some things and know something's there. So I said, all right, send me a couple links. In 2 weeks, I was paranoid. At that point, and I was like, oh my God, I'm seeing, you know, I know what to look for, and I see it all over television, and I like legitimately got paranoid. And and then after a while, I really had to think to myself, like, you know what, I'm a Christian. If there's some secret society or new world order that's coming, there's not a whole lot that I can do, and I feel like, you know, God's in control, so it's not something that I should worry about. So I kind of dismissed it, but then I was like, man, but you know what? What would if it does exist? Like, how would the Illuminati or how would some secret society go and approach an artist? Would they even approach every artist? You know, maybe it's the film or the video producer that's part of the Illuminati. Maybe it's a record company. And I, as I started asking these questions, it was like a very compelling story started to take shape. So at that point, I was like, man, you know, you talk about, you know, doing what you love. I absolutely love movies. You know, I can quote a lot of movies. I've seen a lot of movies. I watch a lot of international movies. You know, I'm really into a good story. And I was like, wow, this would make an incredible movie. And I'm seeing, like, all the imagery and the symbols and all these different things in the movie. And then, like Paul said, you know, well, at that point I called Paul. I'm like, yo, I have this great idea because we've done some businesses together and we usually like to collaborate on stuff. And at that point I was like, let's make a movie. But since we didn't know how to write a screenplay, but we were pretty decent writers, we both – like messed around with writing novels. I know I started my first one like back in 1993, and Paul had tried to co-write some novels and stuff like that and just never finished them. We decided to go the route of doing a novel, especially since, you know, we heard that people typically don't get paid a whole lot off their first screenplay. But, you know, a lot of people who write novels that get made into movies can make a lot of money off of, you know, the rights to the characters in the story. So that's really, it was kind of a roundabout way that we got to writing a novel, but it really seemed to be the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. When you're talking about you know, an idea or a subject matter that, you know, you were passionate about to some degree, enough to dedicate, you know, a year of your life to create this product. With it. Now, Paul, let me ask you, when Brian came to you about the subject matter, I mean, what were you already on board? Or were you kind of like, you know, okay, whatever? I mean, were you?
Well, first I had to tell him to take the aluminum foil off his head because he thought that he could read his mind. So he came over with, like, you know, actually, I was on board with the idea. I have a great belief in God, and my thing is that only God can allow anything to happen, and what's bigger than God. So it was a compelling story, and because we literally looked through hours and hours of video and you know, YouTube videos and read literature about it because we wanted it to be authentic to people's beliefs. And the thing that happened was what typically happens in any relationship, and I think that we have a certain relationship to our novel. Because there's a certain level of commitment. But what happens in any relationship is if you go looking for something, you're going to find it, and it's going to pop up everywhere. So I think once that became my perception, then became my reality, and I had to always go back to my base, which was, you know, God, and wait a minute, like I know that He's all powerful. So it was a great discussion. We talked about it back and forth, and it was definitely a compelling story, and we never really took a position on it. And I think that's the greatest thing about this whole New World Order and Illuminati. You don't. It's so compelling, and so many people are so passionate and consider themselves to be experts on the subject based on the literature that's given to them. But then you get into, you know, the story, and it's like, wait a minute. If this is the New World Order, and why wouldn't they just give us what they wanted us to see, and then we'd run with that? So it's a compelling story with no real answer. And my only answer was God is all glorious and all powerful, and that's the only thing that I needed to be concerned with. But the story was really compelling. So I was on board, like most things that Brian approaches me with. They're well thought out and they're well researched, and I typically tend to go with those.
Wonderful. Now you know, you guys know, I'm sure some of the listeners know as well. You know, I've been writing and publishing for 10 years, but I want to talk to you guys. I want you guys to give your input, your perspective, rather, on, you know, for those who listen who have that desire to write a book, who have that desire to tell their story, you know, who don't know necessarily how to start or that they even can do it, and maybe they don't have time in their mind. Both of you give your perspective on the process of actually being an author, what that meant to you in your life, and how you're able to accomplish that process of writing this book in the midst of everything that you're already doing. Because neither of you quit what you were doing. You made this happen. You made this dream happen while you were still working your jobs, supporting your families. You know, you didn't just go out and leave. So for those who feel like they don't have time and their lives are too busy, how did you guys both make this book happen?
So I think my whole thing is having an accountability partner. If Brian had not teamed up with me, I probably would have never finished the book. It just so happened that my accountability partner was also a co-author, and I think we came to fisticuffs. No, at one time it was like I had to kind of try to outdo Brian, and Brian had to kind of try to outdo me, and The thing that kind of helped the story move along was also the music component, and I had to find something that was enjoyable to me all the time, and music was that outlet. Another thing is really believing in your story, really sitting down and trying to, and it helped us because we had such a wealth of research and a wealth of knowledge, you know, on the subject. It almost lended itself, it almost wrote its own story. So, I mean, if you're doing anything that's dealing with history or your own personal stories, one of the things that really helped to compel, I mean, to push the process along was, one, doing an outline of the story, and then, two, actually having things that could kind of support your ideas. And I think Brian talked a lot about, you know, reading a lot and watching a lot of movies is how I actually, which actually helped me through the writing process.
Cool, good stuff. Brian? Brian, still there?
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, when we first started, we actually had like one day. Like we would go one day a week to a coffee shop, and we would sit down and try to write. And that's when we did a lot of our outline. And we probably did that for about 3 or 4 weeks, where we got like a solid outline, just like one night a week. And you know, like at the time, Paul didn't have kids. I had kids. I would do it kind of late after we put them down. My wife would, you know, hold down the fort. After that, it was like, you know, just setting up a specific writing time, which was one thing that worked for a while. So, you know, my writing hours were typically from like 12 a.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning. And because that was the time that I had when things were quiet and I could actually sit down. And some of it was writing. Some of it was, like, you know, coming up with the, like, designing the website and doing some of the other components of the, you know, of the book launch. But then, so I had a writing time. That was another thing. The third thing was I actually bought an iPad, and I got a keyboard for it. And what I do is when I take my kids, like, dance practice or you know, gymnastics or whatever it was, I take that iPad with me. And when I had like a few minutes where I'm waiting for them in dance or whatever, I'd actually pull out that iPad and write little pieces of it. So it was almost like, you know, to your point, I had a full-time job but also a full-time family. So it was like just fitting in, fitting in some writing in those minutes that I had that I could carve out and make it into priority. I think the other piece too was that that when, you know, I talked about having a book or starting a book in the past, and back then the book was about these two guys who went to different colleges and who communicated via email, because email was actually kind of a new thing. So that was like the hook, and then very quickly email was not a new thing anymore, and it wasn't really a compelling story anymore. So with this Illuminati, kind of the plot that had a very large portion of it that talked about the Illuminati, you know, part of it was like, I don't know how long that window's going to be open. So there was a sense of urgency to get the project finished so that, you know, it would still be compelling when it was released. And then finally, you know, we did a lot of praying. You know, one thing that we went through a big period of writer's block, and the story was going one way, and it was like, you know, when we couldn't write that much more, you know, we just spent some time praying, just saying, you know, God, can you help us find a way for this project to glorify you? And we don't want to do it if it doesn't. And once that happened, you know, a lot of that, you know, just you know, my mind opened up quite a bit, and the story started flowing. So those are some ways that not only were we able to fit it in, but we had a sense of urgency and then a sense of purpose with it that helped propel it to completion.
And not seeing it as such a task, because for me, I think during the time that we were writing the book, my mother died. And a lot of that was really therapeutic. It was, you know, you're really able to escape your everyday life and kind of concentrate on, you know, the story at hand. And then you can actually, we found ourselves interjecting parts of our life into the actual novel, which makes the characters. I mean, every single character in the book is either somebody that we know completely, or a piece of that person, or ourselves. So it actually, if you don't see it as a task, and you almost see, I use it as a tool to kind of get through, even musically. I never wanted to be the character. Like, I never wanted to play one of the characters. I initially just wanted to write for somebody else, but I think that character was an actual release for me, because he's nothing like me. So that kind of helped.
Well, yeah, I think we actually just lost Paul, but we've got to close up anyway. But that character and that music, I mean, that was what drew me in right away, was listening to him do those songs. So, Brian, why don't you go ahead and give out the information. How can people get in touch with Paul and Brian? Schedule you guys for book sign-ins. They can come and order the book themselves. Give out all the information for us, please.
Yeah, absolutely. You can actually go to we're all over social media, so you can go to www.ixirotk, or that stands for IXI Rise of the King, .com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/IXIROTK. On our website, you can connect to our Pinterest page, which is pinterest.com/IXIROTK. But if you just go to our webpage again, you can get all of our contact information, click contact us, and book us for events, or buy the book.
I'm sorry, the Illuminati kicked me off, so I'm back. I think
they kicked you off. We out of time though, but listen, I didn't even mention it. You know, you guys' book was, I mean, number it was top seller, bestseller on Amazon, several bestsellers list. So, you know, these guys aren't somebody who just put a book out. These guys are best-selling authors whose books were at the top of the list. Well, Brian, what was the two books you want to list with? It was some big name. I remember the day we were looking at the list. Do you remember who was either right in front of you or right behind you? I forgot.
Yeah, it was Jay-Z, Decoded, Questlove, and Scarface were all. I think 50 Cent was his
50. Yeah, it was 50, and then it was Meek Mill right after us, wasn't it, on his debut?
Yeah, Meek Mill after he got bodied by Drake, I think.
No, that was before he got bodied by Drake. That was before Drake bodied. Hey, I got cut off, but did you – part of the – I don't know if Brian mentioned Cosby Media as well, but they played a big part in that as well. So I'd be remiss if I didn't mention them.
Good, cool, good stuff. Well, listen, we are all out of time. I want to thank you all for listening to the episode. Definitely go out and get the book. The website, again, is www.ixirotk.com. I want to thank you, Paul. And thank you, Brian. Wish you both all the success in the world.
All right. Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Well.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Passionpreneurs Podcast, a production of Greenhouse Media. To listen to past episodes and to subscribe to our email list, visit www.thepassionpreneurs.com. I'm Ryan C. Green. Thanks for listening.